Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you excited to be in God's presence? If you are, can you show it? Give the Lord a shout. Again, it's my honor this morning to celebrate our Father, Reverend Edwin Bayabo, for his love and for his exemplary humility. A man so full of God, so impactful, yet so broken and down to earth. Thank you so much for all you represent. I told them in the first service, I said most of the House on the Rock pastors I've met have fondly referenced him as their trainer, their mentor, and their teacher. And these are mighty men doing great exploits across the country. Truly humbling to be here. Thank you so much, sir. It's an honor. Celebrate all the ministers in the house, the pastorate. Thank you for your labors. And very specially, celebrate Mama, the prophetess, Deborah Akachuku. Thank you so much. Truly an honor. Great impact. God bless you, ma. It's truly an honor. Please lift your hands toward heaven. We have a limited time this morning. I just want to advance an introduction for what God will be doing in the course of the week. And so I want to establish the protocol for betting the new. And I believe somebody will learn something, but your spirit has to be open to receive. So ask the Lord to speak to you this morning. Go ahead and tell him to talk to you. Don't be quiet. Spirits respond to our words. They don't respond primarily to our feelings. They respond to our words. Because our words are commit us in the spirit realm. So go ahead and talk to the Lord. Tell him you open your heart to receive, and the Lord will speak to your heart this morning. So river flow, let it an river flow in your church once again. Just play for me gradually. You know the song? River flow, let it an river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be seen. River flow, let it an river flow in your church once again. Let eternity be flow. Morning, we ask that you bless us with your word and your presence, and that lives be transformed and your name be glorified in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated gorgeously in God's presence. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about the protocol of new beginnings, because that's the theme of our conference. As we proceed in the course of the week, I will touch some of the intricate dynamics of spiritual acceleration. But for this morning, I just want to give us a roadmap that will guide us even in the course of our navigation in this conference. Praise the Lord. To begin, it's important for us to recognize that everybody walking on the face of the earth requires a new beginning. The reason is because as you walk through time, you will discover that the depths of God are past finding out. Wherever it is you are at the moment, there is something you've not seen. What you call your best today is a past of another person. Not because you are comparing yourself, but the progress people make is a testimony of the boundless faithfulness of God. And because God's faithfulness and possibilities are without boundaries, wherever you are, there is a possibility of transition into a new realm. And so because these possibilities abound, every one of us require new beginnings from time to time. Praise the Lord. And there are people that are under pressure for a new beginning. I want to begin this morning by letting us know that whatever pressure it is you are facing now as a requirement for a new beginning, God is much more under pressure to see you attain that new beginning than you will ever be. You may be here this morning, you require settlement maritally. God is in need of you getting settled much more than you would ever be. You are here this morning, you require a shift in your finances. God is much more interested in that shift than you will ever be. And I will explain that to you from scriptures even as I begin this morning. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 23, just an attempt to do a recap because we had the first service before I proceed. From Deuteronomy 2, 23, the Bible said, "You have encompassed this mountain for too long." That is God speaking to the children of Israel. Remember, they were in captivity for 400 years. God brought them out of captivity to embark on an 11 days journey to the promised land. But a point came, because of their unbelief and evil heart, they were trapped in the wilderness. While they were yet in the wilderness, the compassion of God wouldn't let him. And God will come back to tell them, "You have encompassed this mountain for too long." And in verse 24 of Deuteronomy 2, it says, "Rise ye up. Take up thy journey and go beyond the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon." He said, "Begin to contend with him and subdue his lands." Now, Israel were enjoying the manna in the wilderness. The presence of God was there as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of fire. They had quails to eat and more than enough. In fact, the Bible said their shoes grew with them. So they had no lack. He said, "When I led you out of the wilderness, lackest thou anything?" They lacked nothing. But while they were yet there, God himself showed up and said, "You have been here for too long." So if you think you need a new face, a new paradigm, a new dimension, or a new beginning, I came to announce to you this morning that God needs you to move much more than you will ever need yourself to move. Praise the Lord. And if you know that God is more interested in your progress and prosperity than you will ever be, then one thing it does for you is an assurance of faith. And so when you rise up, you know God has already gone ahead of you. And if God has gone ahead of you, then it will be success and breakthrough all the way. Is somebody excited already this morning? It will be success all the way because God has gone ahead of you. But in order for you to replicate progress, there are three things you need to understand. Number one, the reason for new beginning. Because everything you want to do, you must know why in order to value it and in order to make the most of it. If you don't know why a new beginning is necessary, you may think it's all about yourself. It's much more than you. If all you are looking for is for yourself, then your life is too small to be relevant. If all you are looking for is about yourself, then you are too infinitesimal and insignificant for a generation to reckon with you. Everything God wants to do with you is beyond you. And this is why every time you show up before the Lord, it's important for you to understand why He's doing what He's doing. What is it that necessitates it? Number one, you need to understand that. Number two, you also need to understand the protocol that governs what God is doing or will do in your life. If you don't understand the protocol, you cannot replicate your progress. Even though you enjoy progress, it will not be steady. It will happen once in a while and you cannot replicate it. And anything you cannot replicate, you don't possess. You only possess and master when you are able to replicate. A success you cannot replicate is not a success. It's a fluke. And you can lose it any day, anytime. I heard a fascinating story of a billionaire that lost $2 billion in one day. And that evening, he went to play golf. And people saw him and were overwhelmed. Are you able to stand? We thought you'd be in the hospital. You lost $2 billion. And the man said something fascinating. He said, the money didn't make me, I made it. And if I made it, I can make it again and again. That's a master. For people to speak like that, it means they didn't get rich by accident. Take them to the desert, they will replicate it. They know how. The problem with believers most of the times is things happen to them. They don't make things happen. And if things happen to you, you are not a success. You become a success the day you make things happen. And for you to make things happen, you must understand the protocols that govern reality. So number one, you need to know why there is a need for you to prosper in the first place. Number two, you need to know the protocols that govern it so you can replicate it. And number three, when you are able to replicate it, you need to know how to bring others into it, because God blesses you to be a blessing. When you enter your new beginning, somebody else must come into a new beginning on your account, because you are not wealthy because you have money. You are wealthy because you have added value to the lives of others. So three things we'll be seeing this morning is why or what necessitates a new beginning. Number two, how do you replicate it? And number three, how do you bring others into it? Are we ready to move this morning? There are three things I stated in the first service that necessitates a new beginning. Number one is what I call spiritual calendars or spiritual ordinations. The reason it's important for you to always migrate is because before you were born, your destiny was already fabricated into divine calendars. What you call a success now may not be a success in the realm of God. Joshua conquered 31 kings, and according to him and what he has achieved, that is huge success. But God looked at him and laughed. He said, there is so much land to conquer. The kings I designated for you to conquer in your lifetime may be 100. You have only conquered 31, and you are old. You were supposed to have conquered 31 kings as a youth. You are conquering 31 kings as an old man. You have not done half the assignment. And so if you discover that there is a calendar for your destiny, that calendar will put you under pressure. And that pressure will not be an ambition. That pressure will be the demands of your ordination. I told them here in the morning that God told Israel they will be in captivity from Genesis 15 verse 13 for 400 years. Israel was in captivity for 430 years. They were there. If not that Moses rose up, they would have remained there. And so if a man does not understand that there is a calendar for his destiny, he will become complacent and call an average life a successful life. But if you know that there is a calendar for you, you will thank God for what he's doing with you, but you will know there is more ground to cover. Thank God I am singing well in church and people have been blessed, but I'm a voice to the nations. And if I have not started ministering to the nations, what I'm doing here is still a rehearsal. Thank God I have a company that is doing well in Enugu, but I am called to service Africa. And if I have not been able to reach Africa, this is not progress. I will not stop here. When you find a man or a people who understands that there is an agenda of God factored into different seasons in their lives, you will find people who will take charge. The Bible said the sons of Issachar, they had understanding of the times and seasons and knew what Israel ought to do. If you understand times and seasons, you will define your life accurately. If you don't understand times and seasons, you can still afford to sleep when kings go to war. Because you don't know you are a prince. If you don't understand times and seasons, you can still be complacent when men are writing the exams of destiny. Have you not seen people before? Exam is tomorrow. They are still going to play video game. Exam is tomorrow. They are still going to watch Champions League finals. And because they've not imbibed discipline into their destiny, even when they are 50 years old, they are still looking for who will help them. But there are people who understand that life is fabricated into calendar. And every day you see them, they are pursuing destiny with so much focus and tenacity as if the day you met them is the only day they will live. The reason is because they know time is too small to waste. Their destiny is defined by the quality of their time, and they will not afford to waste it. Every second in your destiny counts. If you check your age now and convert it to seconds, you will discover how many million seconds you have lived on earth. And if you compare it with impact, you may discover that you have not started living. When I turned 30, I checked my seconds on earth, and I discovered I was clocking 1.something million seconds. And I said, what have I done with this investment? That was when it dawned on me that I was late in destiny. And when I checked with God, I was supposed to affect my generation when I was 25. That means 5 years was already gone. But I was excited that I was preaching from campus to campus. Immediately, I woke up and I began to trust God for higher matters. There are some of you who are satisfied with little things. It's because you have not checked the calendar of your destiny. You are not supposed to be affecting Enugu now. By now, you should be affecting Africa. And if you don't know that there's a calendar, you'll be complacent. This is not to put pressure on you, but this is to awaken you to the reality of your destiny. The first reason why you need a new beginning is because you must keep pace with divine calendar. If you don't keep pace with divine calendar, you will not be qualified for the reward that is meant for you. Number two, the reason why you need a new beginning is because a new beginning is not primarily asset-based. A new beginning is not cars. A new beginning is not money. A new beginning is not primarily influence and fame. A new beginning primarily is alignment with the character and the nature of God. Because what God gives you is dependent on how much you have become like Him. The reason is because if God gives you much more than you have become, it will destroy you. The Bible said in 3 John, it said, I wish above all things, 3 John verse 2, that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means God has already benchmarked your prosperity to be the degree to which you know Him. If God gives you a billionaire, I'm telling you now, there are certain people sitting here, the greatest cost that you will give to them is to give them a billionaire. The moment you give them that money, they will self-destruct. Because the first thing they will think of is how to travel to Dubai and see what the buildings look like. And they will waste their lives in 2 weeks. So it will be better to withhold the money. This is why new beginnings are not primarily resource-based. New beginnings are primarily your ability to ascend to higher dimensions in the nature and in the likeness of God. Because the more you become like God, the easier it becomes for God to commit authority to you. The easier it becomes for God to commit assets to your hands. Because God knows that these things will not be a waste. Do you know that most of the crisis going on in this country today is sponsored by men? Most of the calamities we are going through today is deliberately sponsored by people. Why is that so? Money in the hands of the wrong man is a demonic weapon. But money in the hands of the right man is the deliverance and the liberty of a people. The same resource, but in the hands of wrong people. So the problem is not money. The problem is who is handling it. And so because God knows this, He will not commit anything to you that is beyond how much of Him you carry. That's why the Bible says we all with open faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed from one level of glory to another. So the more you are changed, the more you qualify for power. The more you are changed, the more you qualify for resources. The more you are changed, the more you qualify for influence. If you don't engage transformation, kill yourself, you will go nowhere. There are many people today, God is dealing with them on immorality. They are sponsoring their messages on Facebook. They think Facebook will make them popular. Popularity is not a problem. The problem is, what will you do with it? If 1,000 people reach you in one day, what will you do with it? If 100 people give you seed of 1 million, what will you do with it? So we pursue the wrong thing because we don't know God's priority. When you come for a conference like this, God will put demand of transformation on your life because his first objective is for you to become more like him. The Bible spoke concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. It said, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. And he now added something, upholding all things by the word of his power. He cannot uphold all things except as he becomes the brightness of his glory. Most of the things we are praying for are not prayer points. If we will grow, he said, the heir, Galatians 4:1, so long as he's a child, is not different from a servant, even though he's Lord of all. So instead of the heir begging his father for asset, he should grow. If the heir grows, the assets are naturally his. But if the heir refuses to grow, no matter how he cries, the father will not give him. Will you give your car to your 10-year-old son? No matter how he prays, if he likes, he should exercise all the faith in the world. You will tell him, son, grow up. I love you. My love for you is not in doubt. What you are looking for is not scarce. It's available. There are 4 cars in the house. But 10-year-olds don't drive. Because if you drive, you will cause havoc. So when you are seeking a new beginning, it's not car you are looking for. It's becoming more like God. Because when you become like God, there are certain things you won't ask. They will be there, waiting at your command. This is why when people begin to grow, you will discover what you were praying to God for 5 years ago will start happening naturally. It will happen. I remember some things I used to labor and fast for 4 years ago. I don't fast for it now. I don't even remember I need them because they are byproducts of the realm where I'm living. The realm where I'm living now, they are byproducts. There used to be time when, sir, oh God, even money to transport myself was a prayer point that you needed to fast for. And if somebody remembers you and gives you that money, it's a big testimony. If you have 2,000 naira in a week, that is a massive week. You will split it into 300 naira to be able to go by. And this is something you will trust God for. You will pray in tongues. Sometimes when you are charged in tongues, you will prophesy and then 5,000 naira will come to you. What are we doing with that energy now? Now, if I pray in tongues like that now, I can call the dead back to life. But it was a function of growth. And God will honor that your faith and give you the 5,000 naira. But you need to grow. When you grow and you pray like that, God can give you 1 million. God can give you 10 million. God can give you 50 million. Depending on the level of maturity you have attained and the level of trust God has for you. So a new beginning conference is actually a transformation conference. Somebody came here before. You don't look like God experientially. But when you are done with this conference, you will drop a lot of garbage behind. You will drop a lot of garbage. You may not receive a direct prophetic word, but you will step out of the conference and discover breakthrough becomes natural. You will step out of the conference and discover favor becomes natural. You step out of the conference, you discover people start promoting you. God begins to lift you. And you are wondering, what happened? You became more like Christ. And when you become more like Christ, you begin to participate in what it means to be a co-heir. In Romans 8:17, it says we are joint heirs with Christ. That means everything Christ owns, we co-own it with him. But how much of it God will allow you to walk in is dependent on how Christ-like you are. So new beginning is provoked because of the necessity of becoming more like Christ. Number three, what provokes new beginning is the heart of God for you to live a more profitable life. He said, ask them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God that giveth to every man liberally, that he may enjoy. God wants you to enjoy. Spirituality is not hunger. Spirituality is not suffering. Spirituality is not crisis. Hear this. There are seasons of process where God will allow you to suffer because it will teach you how to trust in God. But over and above that, it is God's intention that you should live a glorious and an enjoyable life. That's why the first man he created, he didn't put him in the wilderness. He kept him in the garden. So God is not against your enjoyment. God is not against a good life. Some people think spirituality is tatteredness and a life of chaos and pain. And they believe this so much that they can't even look good in order to be spiritual. So you find them in the 21st century appearing like John the Baptist in the wilderness. And the more they appear like that, the more they feel spiritual. That you feel it does not mean you are correct. Because spirituality does not run on the frequency of feelings. It says, make garments unto Aaron for beauty and for glory. So it's not out of place to have a clean hair, a clean cut, and appear clean and sharp. It's not out of place to sit down and relax and have a good meal. It's not out of place to rest. It's not out of place to travel around the world and appreciate nature. All of that is part of spirituality because God wants you to live a quality life. But these things are byproducts of a life of purpose and a life of consistent transformation, becoming more and more like God. If these three things are well understood, then you are ready for a new beginning. If you have come to that point where you understand that there's a demand on your life based on the calendar of your destiny, and because of that, you can't sleep, you can't rest, you can't be complacent. If you have come to a point where you realize that there is need for you to become more and more like God, and if you have come to a point where you realize that the quality of your life needs to improve, then it's my honor this morning to welcome you to the realm of the new beginning. There are two things I'm doing now. I want to show you something. Why I'm teaching, I want to teach you about the protocol. It is an easy thing to move people. By a prophetic decree, you can move people into any dimension. By a prophetic word, you can change anybody's situation at any time. But beyond a momentary change, you must know how to handle things. If you can't handle things, you will lose them again and again. And you will keep needing men to speak over you. When you understand how these things work, you will walk it in your own life. Any day, anytime. This is why we teach. So that your confidence and your faith will not depend on men. You will understand how God works and you will walk in it. Fire falls on that one now. Where is that person that fell down? I want to pray for somebody else here. You had a joint pain. You cannot even lift your hands. It looks as if your joints are locked. It looks as if your joints are locked. Right now, I lose your joints. Wherever you are, lift your hands now. You will discover the joints have just been unlocked. I open those joints. Now, receive your healing. If you have noticed that change, please come quickly. You couldn't lift your hands. Your joints were locked. Excruciating pain. It just left you. If you are there, come quickly. I'm doing this to show you something. We can begin to change situations from the beginning of the service. But people cannot handle it. You had that challenge. You couldn't lift your hands. It's gone. Instantly. Is there anybody here that has a growth in the body? I want to show you something. You have a growth somewhere or a pain that has lasted for long. It's been there, sharp pain or a growth. It has lasted for long. Can you just wave at me? I want to show you something now. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command the pains to go. I command the growth. I command the growth. Dematerialize now. In the name of Jesus, pains go. Growth vanish. Now, in the name of Jesus.
Now, check that spot where you had that growth or that pain. Do what you couldn't do. Just go ahead and try it. If there was a pain before, you discover it's diminishing. It's diminishing this moment. It's going down. The size is reducing and it's diminishing almost instantly. If you have noticed a change, please lift your hands. The pain is gone. I'm seeing one hand there. The pain is gone. I'm seeing another hand. If you had a growth and it's gone, can you wave at me? Is there anybody particularly that had a growth? Can you wave at me? You had something like a growth or a tumor and it's reducing. Can you wave? I'm seeing somebody's hand there. Brother, are you lifting your hands? Is the growth gone? Please come. You may be seated. I want to teach you something that you may take for granted, but I want to show you how powerful these principles are. You had a growth in your body before. Where was the growth? You had a growth in your buttocks. Is the growth gone now?
Yes, I'm not feeling the pain again.
Is the growth gone?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
I'm not sensing any anointing. Hear this. I just deployed faith. In the same vein, I can look at you and tell you that curse in your family breaks now. And you will go back and discover the curse is broken. But that will not be preserved. Beyond what you can receive by an impartation is what you live out that is yours. This is why I want to show you the protocol of the new beginning. We can shift you into a new realm by prophetic pronouncements just like this. We can shift you into a new dimension by a prophetic decree. But if you don't know the protocol, the devil can steal from you. This is why people keep coming again and again, needing apostles and prophets for things that they should do on a daily basis. These principles are powerful. They are eternal. Your blessings are perfected and they are permanent in Jesus' name. Amen. There's somebody contending for land now. As I'm talking now, there's a I won't say this. This is the East. When you talk like this, it looks as if it's common. You know, when you come to a place, God tells you the needs of the people. But hear this. Before this conference is over, before that contention will end, and what was stolen from you will be returned to you. In the name of Jesus. You know, when we decree and people fall down, people think they are emotional things. When a growth vanishes, that is not emotion. That is spiritual authority. But I did that to illustrate something to you. That no matter the realm you are prophesying into, if you don't know the protocol of retaining it, you will lose it. The devil can come and steal from you. That's why people receive healings and they lose it. People receive blessings and they lose it. They don't know the protocol. And if you don't know the protocol, no matter what is in your possession, you don't have it. Any day, any time, you can still lose it. So for a man to walk in a new order, there is a protocol. And this morning, I'm going to outline them quickly for us. Even as we live here, to begin to live out these protocols and grow from one level of glory to another and sustain every progress the Lord gives to us. You will not lose your blessing in this season. And everything God makes of you or makes out of you, you will keep it and you will not lose it. In the name of Jesus. One of the reasons people turn their backs on God is because they lose what God gives them, and to them it becomes like a manipulation. So somebody comes for a service, you pray healing for the person, 1 week later, he doesn't know that the demons that left, the Bible says when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, he moves about in dry places. If he doesn't find where to abode, it will return. And then the person received healing after 1 week. He does nothing about it, his faith, and the demons come back and his condition becomes worse. And because he doesn't know the principle, he goes back and says the healing evangelist is a scam. That what happened to him in the meeting was emotion. He doesn't know that he received a genuine healing, but he couldn't keep. So beyond what you receive by decrees, you must learn how to keep them. Because some of the accusations you make on the people of God, they are not accusations. They are just a sign of your immaturity. And it's happening all around the world. Many great ministers of God are called scams. Because people receive from God, they don't know how to keep it. And when they lose it, they come to accuse the church. The church is not the one to blame. Our ignorance is our greatest undoing. And if you don't just want to receive something that you will probably lose, then listen to this protocol. Number one, what makes for a new beginning is judgment. There can be no new beginning without a judgment. The reason is because, like I said in the first service, every condition you find a man in, a spirit is involved. Spirits are responsible for every human condition, be it good or evil. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You mean to say everybody Jesus healed, the devil was responsible? Yes. It could be directly or indirectly. When you have an accident because somebody was careless and was overspeeding, the devil may not be directly involved, but indirectly, the devil is the one that made that person grow in that character of lawlessness. And so the spirits are behind every human experiences. And so when God wants to shift a man from where he was to where he ought to be, spirits must be judged. I told you already, Israel was in captivity. It looked as if Israel went into captivity because on their own they went to look for food. Because there was famine on the earth. And Jacob sent his sons to go buy food from Egypt. They bought food and they discovered Joseph was there. And Joseph asked for Jacob to come. And the whole family left to meet Jacob. And they gave them Goshen, the best part of Egypt. And then the Bible said, after Joseph died, a new Pharaoh arose that did not know Joseph. And according to scriptures, they were afraid that Israel will soon take over their land. So they began to enslave Israel. When you look at it from the mental perspective, it looked as if the people were just being careful not to lose their land to Israel that was multiplying. But when God showed up, in Exodus chapter 12 verse 12, he said, tonight I will pass through Egypt and I will judge the gods of Egypt. That means what the Pharaoh was thinking and doing was not a product of his ingenuity. It was the spirit of the territory that sowed the idea to him to use his authority to enslave Egypt. Whenever you find a man in any condition, a spirit is involved. Especially if that man can't help himself. So when God wants to judge, wants to bring you a new beginning, there are spirits in judge. Some of you are where you are today because a spirit has withdrawn wisdom and strategy from you. And you may never be aware. Some of you are where you are today because a spirit have withdrawn the will to succeed from you. And so your life is sinking, you are complacent. You tell yourself this week, I will wake up and get serious with my life. That week will pass. Another week comes and you discover for the last 5 years, you have been telling yourself, I will wake up. But you can't find the energy. There is a spirit sapping the energy out of you. You may not fall down and be delivered, but when God judges those spirits, the energy you have never found, that have never allowed you to rise up and fight for your destiny, suddenly you discover you wake up and you begin to pursue your destiny. Because spirits are behind the undoing of mortals. When there is a new beginning, then you know that there will be judgment. Egypt must be judged. Babylon must be judged. Every spiritual city that have enslaved you before this conference, in the name of Jesus the Lord, now their judgment comes. Every power that has held you down until now, refusing you to align with the calendar of your destiny, I bring judgment in the name of Jesus. Listen, when you notice a pattern, don't take it for granted. Every 2 years, somebody dies. The first one, they say, is cancer. The second one, they say, is diabetes mellitus. The third one, they say, is accident. Relax. Those are channels that spirits are using for undiscerning people. When you find a pattern and a consistency, trace the spirit that is involved. Death has entered the family. How can you have a family of seven, four young ladies? Not that they are all ugly, not that they all have character problem. 35, 33, 31, 29. No one married. And then you are wondering who told you it's a coincidence. A spirit is involved. And when you see patterns that you don't like, it's time to wake up for warfare. Because if they are not judged, you can never see the new beginning. Everybody held down by demonic forces. I speak as one sent. This morning, those spirits are judged in the name of Jesus. In this week, some may die. We have not entered warfare. Some will die. Those who refuse to repent and are servicing demonic altars and stopping the destiny of many, we release the judgment of Abba in the name of Jesus. Hear me. The witch will receive mercy only if he or she wants repentance. If they don't want to repent, you are holding back the destiny of a man who should affect 100,000 people. Some people who are in the pit today, they are not just alone in the pit. Because they have not risen, 1 million people are in the pit. Because their destiny should affect 1 million people. Imagine if Mama does not own that mountain where hundreds of thousands of people go to pray. Myself have gone there to pray before. Part of what I'm doing now were encounters I received from such place of prayer. Imagine if she was in the pit. Do you know how many destinies would have remained in the pit? You are not just in captivity. Every man who is in captivity is a testimony of many destinies in captivity. And so in the name of Jesus, every force that has kept the destiny of many in captivity through some, in the name of Jesus, if they don't repent, judgment comes this week. This is why God judges. Because the purposes of God are at stake. The destinies of men are at stake. And when God gives encounters and they refuse to repent, they go down. When I teach like this, I am passionate because I've experienced it. I've experienced it. Four persons were killed in my family in 4 years. In 5 years, six persons died, including my elder brother. What happened? He went home and they gave him kola nut. And the man put some things in his finger and cut the kola nut and gave him. And out of respect, because this is an elder, he collected it and chewed it. I would have followed suit, but I don't eat kola nut. My Christianity was that dogged. And this young man woke up. They say pain on the head. They now say facial paralysis. They now say coma. The next thing is death. And the man came for me. He couldn't get me. He went for my father. Suddenly we heard, they said back pain. From back pain to prostate cancer. What? What? I was there quoting scripture until God told me, if you don't fight, your destiny will be erased. Wickedness is that bad. And we stood up in the place of warfare. That night while we were praying, I saw a being descend from heaven. He was like the sun. And immediately judgment was released. 3 days later, my dad was completely healed and the man went down. And he did it. This is not coincidence. He used his mouth to confess that he was responsible. Killed 7 persons. And do you know how many destinies are tied to those 7 persons? Imagine if the man killed me. On my platforms alone, every week, we affect more than 2 million people. Every week, at least every 28 days. At least 2 million people follow me and hear me on my own platform. Facebook alone has more than 1.2 million people that listens to me every 28 days. Imagine if I was cut off. Do you know how many people reach out to us? Those who are coming out of immorality. I told them here in the first service, a bandit came to me. A bandit, a kidnapper, because of what God is doing. Imagine how many lives are saved because that bandit has repented. And then one witch sits down somewhere because of sentiment and jealousy that my own children didn't go to school, so these ones will not succeed, and is aligning with a demon. If they don't repent,
In the next 7 days, we release the vengeance of God. There are many sisters who should have been married now, giving birth to the next prophet that will deliver the body of Christ. They should have been married 10 years ago. They are 38 years now. Nobody is saying hello. And so they have delayed the body of Christ for another 10 years. Because the prophet they should have given birth to should have been the one to deliver the body of Christ in the next dispensation. But there's a wicked man that said, this one didn't greet me well, so she will not marry. What is greeting compared to the destiny of the body of Christ? Every wickedness that has stopped you from stepping into your new beginning, we release judgment now.
Arise, arise, Son of God. Let your enemies be scattered. Arise, arise, Holy One, oh. Let your name be praised.
Listen, we are on a project of 5 million souls. I know the place of soul winning. But I also know that if the jealousy of God is involved, if the glory of God is involved, if the purpose of God is involved, if a man will not repent, he will be kicked out of the way. And nobody is too important to stop God's eternal agenda. You will step into the next phase of your life this week. Sit down. The first protocol for the new beginning is judgment. And if you are not ready to allow judgment into your ecosystem, you can never be delivered. Did you not read about Paul? He went to a city, had the opportunity to preach to the governor of the city, and a sorcerer showed up trying to thwart the gospel. Paul said, the hand of God is upon you. You will be blind for a season. Do you know what happens in a city if the governor repents? And then a wicked sorcerer wants to stop the destiny of men. He said the hand of God, the same hand of God that lifts men, blinded the sorcerer. If they don't repent, both they and the princes that walk with them in partnership will bring the judgments of God. You'll find young men full of potentials. They carry their certificate and dump somewhere in the covu. And they are walking about with first class, no job. You find young people with wisdom. You talk to them, you say, these ones can solve the problem of Nigeria. But they hid them in a covert. Every effort they try cannot speak. Not because they are not intelligent, not because they are not hardworking, not because they are not willing, but wickedness will not let them write. We bring judgment against darkness. Unless God didn't put this meeting together, before the next 7 days, some of you will, the migration you will experience, things that have been pending for years, they will suddenly just begin to happen. You don't know why the world is going backward. They are demonic princes manipulating men. A man transacted a contract with a big company that can affect this country. After they awarded the contract, somebody hijacked the money and escaped. Something that should improve the life of millions of people. This is why the country is bad. Because there are princes that are partnering with evil men to sabotage and subjugate the destiny of many. And in this season, judgment will come. Some of them will be disgraced. Some of them will be cut off. Some of them will be expelled so that the kingdom of God and his Christ will move forward. There must be judgment. Every time God delivers, there's judgment. In Egypt, the gods of Egypt were judged. And if judgment does not happen, the promised land before they entered, 10 nations were driven out. Gods and spirits are judged for new beginnings to happen. The people that need to be expelled for you to appear
If they are evil, now is their exposure.
Please be seated. The second protocol for the activation of the new beginning is circumcision. I told them in the morning, most of us have become like the spirit that enslaved our ecosystem. And so even though God judged those spirits, it becomes impossible for God to bless us. Because you have been under the influence of a spirit of corruption for too long that yourself have embraced corruption as a means of prosperity. You have been under the spirit of fear for too long that yourself have embraced fear, so you can't progress. So when God judges what stops you from moving forward, the next thing God will face you must be circumcised. Before Israel entered the promised land, in Joshua 5:2-9, he told Joshua, get sharp knives, circumcise the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. And when they were circumcised, the Bible said, the reproach of Egypt fell off their shoulders. Some of us are carrying the reproach of the spirits that enslaved our bloodline. So in your bloodline, everybody served idols. You are now serving idols. When God judges the idol, you must be circumcised. Because you cannot worship two masters. Because God cannot allow you pay allegiance to idols and to him. So you must be circumcised. There are some of us, we have been in an occupation where bribe have been legalized. And so now God is coming to break the siege of poverty. But until you are circumcised and stop the life of bribe, God can't bless you. And so after God judges, God insists that men must be circumcised. And when Paul was teaching us in Romans chapter 2, from verse 28 to 29, he said this circumcision is not of the foreskin anymore. He said the circumcision is of the heart. That means circumcision is alignment with the character of God's spirit. It doesn't matter the occupation where you are. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be bold to tell the king, we will not bow. Everybody here have surrendered to iniquity. We will not bow. Every young lady here is fornicating. We will not bow. We will stand our ground. If that kind of circumcision does not happen, you cannot see the new beginning. You come to a territory, every lady below 20 has already been disflowered. It's always about boyfriend, girlfriend, fighting, iniquity of all sorts. You cannot be part of it anymore. If you were there, then there must be circumcision. You've got to go back and burn the bridges, break the relationships, and take a new stand. And say, as the Lord help me, I will beat my body and bring it under subjection. I am no longer part of this clan. I refuse to be a part of it. I am able to stand alone. No matter the reproach, you will bear it. And when you accept the weight of circumcision, then God is willing to take you to your promised land. Without circumcision, you can never appear in your promised land. You can't be part of those taking bribe and corruption and expect God to bless you. You can't be part of those living in fornication and expect God to take you to a new beginning. What is the new beginning? Imagine when the bandit came to me and I blessed him and prophesied him to a new beginning. He would have moved from using machete to AK-47. Without circumcision, there can be no promotion in the kingdom. When God promotes men, he circumcises them first. The third protocol is consecration. Consecration is a state of absolute committer of your life to God. You come to a point where you say, I own nothing anymore. I'm a steward of the resources of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 1, he said, we are servants of God, therefore we are stewards of the mysteries of Christ. When you are consecrated, you come to a point where Jesus indeed becomes your Lord and Master. If you still own your money, then God can increase your money. If you still own your health, God can increase your health. If you still own your time, God cannot add quality to your time. Consecration is a state of relinquishing everything you have to God and say, Lord, you own it all. I'm only a privileged steward. When you get to that point, then you have come to the realm of limitless blessings. Because God can afford to give you much more than what you and your family need. He can give you the wealth of the nations because you have become a steward. If you still own it, then he cannot give you. The Bible said he giveth bread to the eater and seed to the sower. If all you are looking for is for yourself and God can't own it, then God can't bless you. Because if he gives you the money for the state, he will convert it to your money. If he gives you the authority for the state, he will convert it to your authority. And so before God brings men to a new beginning, he demands consecration. A state where you are completely sold out to Christ. And you say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I own nothing anymore. All belongs to Jesus. Come to that point and see what God begins to do with you. You discover all your transactions ends in 5 million. Suddenly God shoots you to a billion. The reason is because it's not your money. It's God's money. You are a steward. This is the protocol. Even on spiritual things, people are self-centered. Let me tell you, the code of the age is self-preservation. That's what the God of this age works with, self-preservation. Everybody is looking for his own. But what God is looking for is a selfless man that he can entrust with the resources of others. If we cannot get to that point, we can never be promoted. Consecration is a requirement for the blessing. If you are not consecrated, forget about God blessing you. So you move from judgment to circumcision to consecration. It's when you perfect consecration that God can now bring you to your true promised land. And we call that the blessing. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3, he said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy kindred, get thee out of thy father's house. I will take you to the land where I will bless you. After consecration comes the blessing. Listen, some of the things we are praying for is not necessary. Some of the things we are praying for, if we were to submit to God, we will see how God will lavishly spend those things on us. There are many people, God said, while they are yet praying, he answers. He said, before they speak, he appears. Because those people are the extension of God. God knows that anything he commits to them still belongs to him and it will be used for his kingdom. And there are many people that are dying on mountains, praying and fasting, yet nothing happens. When you find truly successful people, ask them how many times they pray for money. You'll be shocked that they will not remember the last time they prayed for money. They are just looking out for needs that they will meet. They are looking out for how to help humanity. They are looking out for how to make a change and make an impact. And even when they are sleeping, God is giving them wisdom. While they are walking, God is giving them wisdom. And the money keeps coming. And when you check their lives, almost everything they have belongs to society. It's only a poor man that is looking for what he will keep for himself and his family. And then he gets one, he go and hides it. You say, hey, there is a need here. I say, no. What will my children do? Rich men are not like that. Wealthy people are not like that. Impactful people are not like that. They are looking for how to help. They are looking for how to improve society. And God sees their heart. And on the strength of that, God keeps blessing them. You want a new beginning? You want a new realm? You want a new order? There must be judgment in your ecosystem to destroy the forces that keeps you in captivity. And after that judgment happens, there must be circumcision. If you are not willing to be circumcised, you can't go forward. For some of you, as you leave this conference, God will give you laws. He will tell you things that you must do. There are relationships you will break out of. For some of you, there are lifestyles you will stop if it is the blessing of God you are looking for. But if it is not God and you want to cut corners and come and announce in church that God blessed you, that's fine. When we get into eternity, we will know who blessed who. Many years ago on campus, a lady showed up with a Samsung slide and claimed that God blessed her. 1 week later, we discovered she traveled to Lagos and slept somewhere. And the phone came out of immorality. But she came to the altar and said, see what the Lord has done. And then the whole student shouted, who did this? Everybody said, Jesus. Oh my God. God was looking at the whole church like this. Am I the one you people are dragging into? I don't know anything about it. We finished dancing. 1 week later, we discovered that God had no hand in it. May we not discover in eternity that what you called God, God had no hand in it. And so if you want God to truly bless you, you must accept circumcision. You know, it's done with sharp knives. It's not palatable. That's why Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. There are many who argue that only Jesus' sacrifice is enough. Then go and remove Romans 12 verse 1 and 2. Jesus' sacrifice created the platform. Your sacrifice is a testimony of faith and surrender. This is why there's lasciviousness in society. God can't bless you except you are circumcised. And God cannot bless you except you are consecrated. If you are consecrated and circumcised, then the first protocol will activate naturally. Time is a burden. I can't even say anything. My goodness. Hallelujah. When this protocol is fulfilled, then three things begins to happen naturally in your dwelling place. Number one, the word of God will come alive. I'm telling you this. When you find people who are prosperous genuinely, they prosper by the proceeding word of God. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. The reason many people are not interacting with the proceeding word is because they have not allowed circumcision. So their culture, their belief system, and the things they picked from the word is still competing with the word. And the Bible said you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. But when you allow circumcision, when you allow God's authority over your life and you become consecrated to God, your traditions give way, your belief systems give way, your flesh gives way, and suddenly the word of God will rise up. Find out those who succeed, they will tell you, I heard. Because when God speaks, it becomes easy. If I want to pray for the sick here now, I'll need my faith to be stirred. But if I'm just talking here and I hear that somebody has cancer, I can pocket my hand and say, somebody has cancer here, you are healed. It will happen effortlessly. It doesn't need my faith. God has spoken, because the voice of God is upon many waters. He said the voice of God is full of majesty. The voice of God thundered. So men who succeed, they live on the voice. The voice of God finds them every day. So they don't start a project because their brother is doing the same project. They don't start something because somebody else is doing it. They start things because they were born from the Spirit. And when God speaks, even if the whole earth is in chaos, the voice of God can recreate the world. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 2, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, your life can be full of contradiction. Wait for the word. Joseph was in prison. He said, until the time that his word came, until that time, the time when the word comes is when you have circumcised. It's when you are consecrated. And when that word comes, even the prison doors will open on their own accord. Joseph was struggling to come out of prison. He couldn't. In fact, when the butler was restored, he said, please remember me when you are restored. The man forgot him. But until the time that his word came, Psalm 105 verse 17 to 19, he said, the word of the Lord tried him. The king sent for to lose him, even the ruler of the people. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance to teach his senators wisdom and to bind his princes at his pleasure. The guy left the prison and became second in command in Egypt. What was the training? What was the qualification? The word became the qualification. There are realms God will take you to that you may not have the physical qualification, but when God speaks, you can become the governor's man. When God speaks, you can become the next prophet. When God speaks, you can become the next stockbroker. When God speaks, you can become the next most profitable captain of industry. It's based on the word. Because even on the water, when the word comes, you can walk on the water. Nothing is a limitation anymore. You start walking on the word. A generation of men that will walk on the word are about to appear. This word of God is not primarily what I'm preaching. I am preaching a message, but God will talk to your heart. is that word that proceeds from God that changes your story. But that word will be scarce except as circumcision completes. The Bible said in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it said in those days the voice of God was scarce and there were no open visions. It said Eli was blinded and the ewy lamp had gone down. But Samuel was in the sanctuary and he said suddenly God called him Samuel, Samuel, Samuel. In verse 20 of that same scripture, it said all of Israel knew from Dan to Beersheba that God had established Daniel as a prophet. There is a level of establishment you cannot come to except as the word of God comes to you. And when the word of God begins to come, you will discover only God makes men. That word that comes to you can mobilize the man who is supposed to support you to support you. That word that comes to you can mobilize the resources that should come to you to come to you. But if that word does not come, you will spend your whole life as a wanderer. Because you will be traveling from place to place looking for helpers. You are not supposed to look for them. They should look for you. The Bible says your sons and your daughters will come from afar. It says strangers will stand to build your walls. If you start running looking for helpers, it means you have left where God's word is. But if you are where God's word is, everybody converges there. The wicked man, the good man, the kind man, the patient man, all of them are regulated by the word. When God speaks to you, he can raise a hidden king to come give you. I heard the story that in 1996 or 95, thereabout, when Reinhard Bonnke came to Nigeria for a crusade, Abacha went to his hotel room in the night, knocked, opened the door, and sowed the seed. The president of the nation, who is not a Christian, he went to him and gave him bags full of money to support his crusade. He didn't need to be a Christian to do it. God does not need Christians to help you. God does not need any kind of religion to help you. When God speaks, even a man who says he's an atheist can be commanded to help you. Did you not read about Elijah? There were no men. God mobilized the raven. So even if men don't exist, God can command animals to help you. And animals will go and bring what they don't eat and give to you. They said the raven is the most stingy bird that is known. But the raven, day and night, will bring food and give Elijah and go back. We never knew whether the raven was filled or hungry. And there was no record that God fed the raven. The commandment of the raven is to come and feed Elijah. Somebody will wake up with your name and he will lose his sleep. And the money that he was keeping for a project, suddenly he will bring it to you. Somebody will wake up and forget that he has 30 people to support and give you a connection where nobody you know would have given to you. The reason is because the word of God dwells with you. This is how men become invincible. They carry the word everywhere they go. You want new beginning, then you need new words. You want new beginning, you need new utterances. You need new beginning, then new oracles need to come to you. Those are the things that establish men. He said, I, the Lord, I take the beggar from the donkey and establishes him upon thrones that he may inherit them. So you are not just coming to the palace and going back. You inherit those thrones because the word of the Lord comes to you. It doesn't matter where you are now. What matters is what you are doing where you are. If you will only purge yourself and consecrate to God, you will be shocked what will happen to you overnight. And men will wonder, is this not Saul? Is Saul also among the prophets? You can become a part of anybody and anywhere, depending on the word that comes to you. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. They fight for things. People who don't have understanding, they manipulate for relationships. Men who have understanding, they search for new words. New words, new words. Because with the new words comes new relationships. With the new words comes new possessions. With the new words comes new promotion. With the new words comes acceleration. Elijah told the king, go wait. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. The sky was dry. Elijah knew how it works. And he didn't talk to anybody. The Bible said he went, put his head in between his thighs, and he was waiting for the sign from heaven. That's how the walls function. Your ground may be dry. Wait for the word. When the word comes, rain can appear in dry season. When the word comes, the valley may be empty. Forget it. It will be full with rain. What you need are words. Trust me, brothers and sisters. They told you will never give birth. Wait for your word. They told you will never prosper. Wait for your word. I've seen people before that their fallopian tube was cut off, womb removed. And they gave birth with doctor's report that they have no wombs. Nothing is permanent so long as God is still speaking. Everything will become permanent when God stops talking. But so long as God is talking, nothing is permanent. Even the dead, the Bible said, shall come back from the grave at the instance of the voice. He said, they that are dead, they will hear the voice of the Son of God and they shall live. So even death is not permanent when God is talking. Who told you are finished? There's a new beginning for you. Because your word will come to you. Your word will come to you. In the name of Jesus. You'll find men who move from glory to glory. They spend the word of God. They don't spend money. They spend the word. Every time, their bank is not Access Bank. It's not Zenith. Zenith and Access Bank is where they put byproducts. Their bank is heaven. And when they find out that something is going down, they go and look for more wars. The more wars come, the more things happen. And so they don't spend money. They spend words. A man will show up and say, God told me I'm a voice to the nations. And you look at him and say, where is the voice? You? You will laugh. Wait for 3 years. When that word mature, you will be amazed. Somebody will come to you and tell you, God told me I will have a twin. And you say, but you have been buried for 10 years. Wait for the word to mature. What you call barrenness is doctor's report. When the word comes, paradigms are altered. When the word comes, protocols are destroyed. When the word comes, impossible becomes possible. And that's why wise men travel to where the word dwells. They may need to go there by prayer. They may need to go there by meditation. They may need to go there by worship. But by all means, they will go to where the word dwells. When you find men who make impact, they seek the word day and night. He said, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate upon it day and night to see that you do what is written therein. Then, he didn't say God. He said, you shall make thy way prosperous and have good success. That means God has perfected everything already. It's your choice. And somebody will find a word today that will change barrenness. Somebody finds a word today that will change poverty. Somebody finds a word today that will break a curse. Somebody will find a word today that will change your story. You are not defeated. So long as God is speaking, there is hope. The Bible said there is hope for a tree that is cut off. At the scent of water, it will sprout again. There's hope for someone. I came to tell you, your new beginning is a reality. Your new beginning is a surety. It must happen. Just find walls. Find walls. Become an excavator of walls. The way archaeologists search the earth for relics. Astronauts search space for things. UFOs, begin to search the world. Sometimes you carry the book of Psalms. You sit on it. The Lord, you are searching. You are searching. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is on the law of the Lord. And on this law doth he meditate day and night. Then suddenly, you now hear, it's like the tree that is planted by the rivers of living waters. Its fruits will not wither. He provided his fruits in his season. His leaves will not wither. And suddenly, it downs on you, I will not wither.
It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter who comes up against me. I will not wither. I will bring forth my fruit in his season.
Did you not read what the psalmist said? He said, my enemies rise up against me. They say there is no hope for me. He said, but thou, O Lord, you are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. For thou, O Lord, are a shield for me.
Say unto the righteous, there is hope for him.
He said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I cannot be discouraged. Listen, it doesn't matter who rises up against me. I respect you for what you represent, but your sentiment cannot shut down my destiny. No. Before I was formed, he knew me. He ordained me and sanctified me to be a prophet to the nations. Everybody I met is for me to fulfill this destiny. And when they become an impediment, thank you for all you have been, but I'm moving forward. You will not end like this. You will rise up and shine, because thy light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen up upon you.
Pray in the Holy Ghost for 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
In my spirit for someone. Habakkuk 3:17-19. Somebody's life is about to shift. They wrote you off. They placed a limitation against you. But the word of the Lord comes to you this morning. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall there be fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall not yield forth, and there be no flock in the court. He said, but the Lord, my God, is the joy of my salvation. I came to tell you this morning, Jesus is the joy of your salvation. Every stagnant water that has stopped you from flowing, in the name of Jesus, I command it, let it become a moving river. Every mountain standing before you, I speak as a servant of God, in the name of Jesus, let the mountains be uprooted.
Pray in the Holy Ghost, brothers. Receive those words into your spirit.
Everybody that mocked you, we apologize in your lifetime.
river just started flowing.
Ah, the waters just started boiling.
We are out of time, but hear this. Please, if you can, be sensitive. There are seven of you here that God wants to put his hand on as a wonder to your generation. You have been stuck before. You have been stagnated. Your life almost was a reproach. But there's an anointing coming on you this morning to make you a wonder to your generation. Wherever they are this morning, ushers, I want to lay hands on this seven quickly as I round up. Wherever they are, now I release the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit to move you from where you are. In the name of Jesus, receive that baptism. I'm seeing the Lord opening blind eyes in the spirit. Men who are blinded to what their destiny requires. They've spent their life doing the wrong thing. God is about to open their eyes in the spirit. Wherever you are, only making mistakes and choosing the wrong thoughts, now receive illumination by the Spirit.
Thank you, Father. We are out of time. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the precious name of Jesus. If I push beyond this point, we may not be able to handle it. But hear me, as you depart from this service, your encounter begins from today. Your breakthroughs begin from today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sir, there is a massive shift that is about to take place. It's literally an exodus in the spirit. But the Lord is saying people must make commitments and rededications because of what is about to come in the next 7 days. There are too many things God wants to release upon us, but he needs men who can handle it. He doesn't want to release it, but men can't receive. And so people need to rededicate their hearts to God. People need to commit themselves to the Lord. And people who don't know the Lord need to meet the Lord for the first time. In the next 1 minute, we can't even accommodate. God bless you. Your lives will change forever. In Jesus' precious name. Just in case, thank you so much. If you can go back. You are here. You have not made Jesus the Lord of your life. You have not made Jesus. Jesus is not the Lord of your life. And you know this is a strategic season for you. But the Lord is prompting your heart that you need to submit to him. Just in case there is anybody like that, this morning you want to make a commitment to Jesus, can you please make your way to the front? There may be many, there may be few. You want to make this commitment to the Lord this morning. If you are not ashamed of him, then something is about to begin to happen in your life. Very quickly, as they come forward, clap for them, encourage them. We are doing this so that nobody is left out. So that nobody is left out. This is a Bible-believing church where the word of God is taught. But we are also not taking for granted that there may be a possibility for people who need to make this commitment this morning.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.